and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who would like for you to name this sound. How many of you say mosquitoes? How many say bees? How about large, violent gnats? How many of you say, oh no, I know exactly what that sound is. You're saying that's the sound of flies. Well, those of you who said that's the sound of bees, you're not correct. That is indeed the sound of flies. Those pesky creatures that sometimes get into our homes, especially during the summertime. Maybe a little bit during the spring, but mainly seems like during summertime. No one invites them in. They just see that the door's open, or maybe they see a crack in the window, and they just invite themselves in. Come in trying to eat up our food. They have us making sure we have fly swatters in the house. How many of you don't really need fly swatters because you've discovered that you can actually snatch those flies right out of the air while they are in flight? Let me tell you, I have seen a couple of people, one or two people, maybe three people do that. I saw one young man, a teenager, do that. We were inside of a building. Flies were in there. You know, like I say, all they do is just wait for an opening. You open the door and they just fly on in. I watched him snatch fly after fly out of the air. Snatch it right out of the air. I think he went after about three of them. And to my recollection, he never missed one. And when I say he never missed one, I mean his first time trying to snatch this first fly out of the air, he snatched it right out of the air while the thing was in flight. The second fly, as that thing was flying by, he snatched it out of the air. First try. The third fly, same thing. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Y'all know those flies can be pretty fast, real fast. You trying to hit them with the fly swatter because they light it on the screen or on the table or wherever they are. And you know you got them. You know it. Yeah, I got them now. And you position that fly swatter, position it a little bit more, and you try to slowly but surely creep up on the fly. And then you bring the fly swatter down. And the fly takes off. You hit the screen, but you missed the fly. Those little rascals can move. And you talk about agitating. They're so nasty, we don't want them anywhere around. Anywhere around. Bad enough when they're outdoors, but indoors? Well, popular science is letting us know that there is a house that most of us, if not all of us, are very familiar with that has some serious problems with flies. Yes, I'm talking House of Flies today, ladies and gentlemen. And the house that I'm talking about that has some major problems with flies and has had problems with flies for some time now. Which house am I talking about? You all know. You all know which one I'm talking about. The White House. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the White House, the White House, the one in Washington, D.C., where our presidents and their families live. Some serious problems with flies. Check this out. Pests, because this isn't anything new, that there's some kind of creature uninvited in the White House causing problems. This isn't the first time. Listen to the history of this. Pests have plagued U.S. presidents for generations. A rat nearly ate First Lady Frances Cleveland's pet canary in the mid-1980s. Can you imagine that? A rat big enough to eat a bird, a pet bird, but still a bird. It nearly ate her pet canary, according to Real Life at the White House. 200 years of daily life at America's most famous residence. A member of the Cleveland staff commented that they didn't know where there were so many species of cockroaches until starting work at the White House. They had been places, and y'all know sometimes, you know, we're going to see roaches in the house. They're going to be roaches in this building and that building, sometimes in restaurants. A lot of these staff members said that they didn't know there were so many species of cockroaches until they started working at the White House. Now, I got to tell you, sharing this information with you comes as a bit of a, I'll say a surprise, because it really was a surprise to me to discover this. I just assumed that with the White House being the White House, that you'd have exterminators who really were on top of the job. Man, I'm thinking at most over the course of an 8-year period, you might see 2 or 3 roaches. I'm thinking over a course of a 15-year period, you might see 1 rodent, if any, because this is the White House and you have people living there all the time. I mean, one presidential family after another, someone is always there. So I'm just assuming, since it's the White House, the house, the American residence, that there just weren't going to be any problems there with pests of any kind. And really and truly, that's the kind of thing that I didn't even think about until I started looking at the article. I think in the back of my mind, it was just an assumption. The White House, spick and span, sparkling at all times. Not just clean, but also pest-free. I think just in my subconscious, that's what I was thinking. Well, I was wrong. During the Gerald Ford administration, a mouse scared the National Security Council out of the Situation Room, according to a report uncovered by the Washington Post in 1991. Rats and roaches, mice, and wait, there's more. The flies. Our last two presidents, President Barack Obama, President Donald Trump, don't share a lot in common when it comes to morals, when it comes to values, when it comes to worldviews, very little in common. But when it comes to pests in the White House, they do share this in common, the fly. They say that there are multiple YouTube videos of former President Barack Obama swatting the large persistent insects during interviews. Donald Trump has complained about the flies amidst tours around the West Wing. A sampling of White House work orders from 2017 included this: install 2 bug light in the W.W. Kellyanne Conway office. So that should get the job done, right? Just put the bug lights up. We're good to go. Those flies are going to be zapped. And all will be well in the White House. Not necessarily. Here's the thing. Some of the experts are saying that, in fact, Ellen Earhart says that really, bug lights are probably not the best option. She says that unless there's also an electric zapper involved, the most that a light can do is lure the insects away from other lights. I can dig that. I got to agree with. Okay, so you put this light out there. Is there something about the bug light that's going to the light itself that's going to take the fly out? No, you got to be able to zap that rascal. But finding a more effective solution than the bug light requires sending a specimen to a university so that they can identify the species of fly. Different kinds of flies have different behavior patterns, according to Katie Prudick, who's an entomologist and assistant research professor at the University of Arizona. Exterminators, if they're going to take care of the flies, they can't just show up. The exterminator can't just show up. They can't just show up with some kind of chemical. They've got to be able to match strategy to the specific species of fly. So she says that any time you want to control a pest, you've got to think like that pest. Makes sense to me. How about you? You got to think like it. For instance, I'll give you an example. I was talking about the flies in the house and the use of the fly swatter to take those rascals out. When I was 9, 10, 11 years old, I tell you, I missed more flies than I killed using that fly swatter. As I got a little older and I started asking myself the question, why do I keep missing these flies? This fly swatter has all this size to it, and I'm missing that, you know, the square or the rectangular part of it that actually comes in contact with the fly when you do make contact. This thing is so much bigger than that small fly. How do I keep missing it? Actually, I was about 9 or 10 when I asked myself that question. And so I decided that rather than just swat at the fly, I was just going to move the fly swatter close enough to the fly that I could see how it got away. I wanted to study the fly's flight pattern. Yeah, what direction did it move off in when it flew away? Because it had to be doing something in flight that I wasn't aware of that caused me to keep missing it. And so I would deliberately get close enough that I could move the fly swatter, and I wasn't trying to hit it. I just moved it enough so that the fly would pick up on the movement and take off. And after I did that a few times, I picked up on a pattern. There were certain angles at which the flies would fly. They didn't just go straight up. They didn't just go straight ahead. There were angles and inclines at which they'd take off. I said, oh, okay. So that's why I've been missing. I've been trying to bring the fly swatter straight down on them. But then when I started noticing the angles and the directions at which they would tend to fly off, I would position my fly swatter. I'd get close enough to them, position my fly swatter over the fly. And then when I was close enough that I knew I could make contact, I angled the fly swatter to meet the fly in its path. When I started doing that, I was ensuring that the fly would literally fly right into the fly swatter. So when I brought it down, bam, fly done away with. And I got to the point where, because they were all using the same pattern, I got to the point where if the flies were ever clustered, which they would sometimes do, if they were ever clustered together, I could kill 5 and 6 flies with one stroke because I knew how they were going to try to fly off. And sure enough, they'd all use the same angles, the same inclines, trying to get away. And so they all flew into the fly swatter. I took them all out. So again, I'm saying that to let you know there really is something to this whole business of thinking like the pest in order to control the pest. There's a limited number of kinds of flies hanging around Washington, D.C. at this point. They say that the most boring and the most probable White House tormentor is the housefly, Musca domestica, the most common indoor fly species in the world. That's the answer that entomologist Kara Gibson went with after watching some Obama-era swatting. Female houseflies are perpetually on the lookout for detritus decaying organic matter, like, okay, getting ready to give it to you straight, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. They're looking for old food and they're looking for feces. Once they find it, they can lay eggs in batches of 100 or more. These can then, the description gets worse, they can then grow up into maggots and then eventually fly off to make babies of their own. Can you imagine inside the house, inside of a building, you have this, let's just say five female flies, house flies. They're looking for food. They're looking for feces to lay their eggs in. Each one of them has a batch of eggs numbering 100 or more. 100 or more eggs for each of those five female flies. They lay their eggs at the same time. You may have 500 or more fly eggs being laid. Those 500 or more fly eggs grow up into maggots, which eventually become flies. And now you have 500 or more flies coming from just those five that laid those 500 or more eggs. That's a lot of flies in one building. In our White House. So what do you think? Does it really make a difference to think like them? Yes. And I know that exterminators bring a lot to the table as far as knowledge, etc. But part of the reason that a lot of exterminators, well, extermination companies have their employees going to school, because there's so much to learn. There's so much to know if you're going to do the job right, if you're going to do it well. So more about these pesky creatures when I come back. We'll be right back.